single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Hello and welcome to Living Life. May you be blessed in your time in God's Word today. Today is June 26th and we're starting Numbers chapter 20. You know, as you're going through the book of Numbers, it might get really gloomy because you're seeing these Israelites complain, rebel again and again. And you're thinking, man, maybe I'm not gonna be like that. Maybe I'm better than them. It's so easy for us to kind of separate ourselves from these rebellious Israelites. But if you really read today's passage today, it shows us that even the best of us, even the best of the best of us can fail miserably according to the standards of God. And so it might really bring us to a despair as we hit the reality of our depravity before God. We're all depraved, we're all sinful, and we've all joined in on the rebellion, and we really need God's grace. So how do we move from despair to hope? And how do we respond to the reality of our really inner depravity? Let's jump into our passage to take a look together.
Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he showed himself holy among them.
Today's passage begins yet again with another rebellion at the hands of Israelites. You know, they're almost at the end of their 40-year journey through the wilderness, and yet, you know, some things have never changed. They're still complaining and still bickering, still being rebellious towards God. This time the issue is having no water. And having no water was a legitimate concern, so a legitimate issue. And instead of being humble and depending upon God for provision, these Israelites take out their anger upon their leaders, Moses and Aaron. Look at what they say in verse 3. They quarrel with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here. Verse 5. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? So do you catch what they're saying here? They're not only complaining about just lack of water or having no water, but they're going a lot deeper. They're questioning the very goodness of God Himself and His plan and in His rescue of these Israelites out of Egypt by His sovereign hand. They're questioning God and His goodness altogether. They're saying, God, why did you even bring us out of Egypt, you know, to this terrible place? And they're questioning God's goodness altogether. And so God once again responds in His grace and mercy. So He calls Moses. He tells Moses to take up a staff and get all the Israelites together in front of a rock. And He tells Moses to speak to the rock, and then the water will gush out for all the Israelites to drink. So that's where the problem really ensues. The problem happens when Moses and Aaron gathers all the Israelites before the rock, and out of a momentous anger, a spontaneous anger, Moses really cannot control his anger, and he breaks out, and he puts himself in the place of God, and he says, look at what he says. He says, you listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? So, and then Moses lifts up his arm and strikes the rock a couple times, twice, and then the water gushed out for all the Israelites to drink. And this might not seem like a big event, but it's a huge, what's wrong with this picture? In calling out Israelites as rebels, Moses essentially joins in on their rebellion because he puts himself in the place of God, and instead of honoring God before the Israelites, he honors himself and Aaron in the face of all the Israelites. So as a result, look at verse 12, God says, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. So Moses and Aaron, they're not allowed to enter into the promised land because they put themselves in the place of God and chose to honor themselves instead of honoring God. And you might say, well, that seems really harsh. You know, here Moses and Aaron obeyed and really honored God all their lives, almost all their lives, and now because of one blunder, God is, you know, not allowing them to enter into the promised land. Is God being too harsh here? But then the point of the matter is the fact that even Moses joined in on the rebellion of the Israelites. And the core essence of the rebellion of these Israelites is that, you know, instead of trusting God to provide, instead of trusting God to be God in their lives, they put themselves in the place of God and try to run their own lives. How about us? How about you? How about me? Do you have times in your life where you feel like, you know, you need to be in control and you trust yourselves more than God and you put yourself in God's place in your life? Do you have times like that? You know, recently I've been struck with this illness, medical condition, and, you know, the doctor said the only cause of this medical condition is stress. You have too much stress in your life. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I was stressed. But then as I realized, man, I've been really, really stressed in the subconscious. You know, it's one thing to say, I trust God and, you know, God is good. But then inside, inwardly, in your heart, to be so frustrated and to be so anxious and to be so stressed out because things are not happening according to your plan. And really, you know, you're putting yourself in the place of God as you're being stressed and worried and being anxious because things are not going according to your plan, and you're having trouble trusting God. And maybe that's you in your lives. And this passage should humble even the best of us. Even the best of the best of us can stumble at any time. We fall short of God's glory, and we've all joined in on the rebellion of the Israelites, and we put ourselves in the place of God, and look what that did to us. You know, we try to run our own lives, and it created a havoc and a mess in our lives. And that's where this passage really leads us, is in despair. I want to leave you with a note of hope in this passage. Even though Israelites rebelled, even though Moses rebelled, the water still gushed out of the rock. The rock took the punishment for the rebellion of the Israelites and Moses as well. The rock was struck in the place to bear the punishment, and so the rock gushed out with water so the Israelites were able to drink and quench their thirst. The rock is pointing us to someone. A rock is pointing us to Jesus Christ. He himself endured the striking on the cross. He was struck on the cross so that in our place, Jesus was struck to bear the punishment for our sins. And Jesus is a hope. He's a living hope. And this rock is where we put our hope in, that in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our best efforts, we'll fall short of his glory. The living water will gush out from this rock. And whoever tastes this living water gushing out of the rock will never thirst again. So the passage is gloomy in a sense that even the best can sin and fall short. But the passage leaves us with the hope that through this rock that has been struck, we can drink of this living water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the rock of Jesus Christ, and through whom we can taste this living water, Lord. Help us to be humble by this passage, knowing that we have stumbled and fallen short of your glory, that we've joined in on the rebellion with the Israelites. Lord, help us to really trust you to the bottom of our soul, that, Lord, we would never take your place as God and ruler of our lives, but, Lord, that we would always taste the living water that gushes out of this rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching farther and stepping in closer.